112 years. Of those 112 years, just as an aside, they were childless, of course, for 75 years. But where I just, for a moment, want to start just mentioning the fact that 112 years they're married, and at the same time, when Avraham Avinu comes, Lispod Lisara the Lifkosa, and of course he was in the best position to do that because he knew her as a child, as a young adult, and as an older person, etc. You know, they ask, why Yitzchak? Perhaps there was not Maspid his mother. He only knew her as an older person. Yitzchak only knew her as old, only knew her for the last 37 years of her life. It's Avram who knew her all along since they were married for 112 years. But Lamaisa is like this. He comes, Lispo the Sar of Alifkaisa, small chaf. And Mephorshim say that he was he cried very, very limitedly. And the question is why? Why did he cry so limitedly? And interestingly enough, Lispo the Sar of Alifkaisa, Gemara says that really Bechi, crying comes before hesped. A person is emotionally upset, and certainly after 112 years of living together, he certainly was. Now, how come the hesped came first? And the Kehilas Yitzchak says something which really is part of the underpinning of tonight's talk, and that is that the Yetzer Hara, we call him Melech Zokin Uksio. He is the old king who is a kasil, who's a fool. We've mentioned before, too, he's a fool because he makes people fools. Shoemaker is called the shoemaker because he makes shoes. The Yetzer Hara is a fool because he makes people fools. And therefore, he tries, of course, to stop people from doing mitzvahs, to stop people from doing chesed, from learning everything. And very often, when the frontal attack doesn't work, then he comes in from the back. And how does he come in from the back? He tries very hard to make a person regret having done whatever mitzvah he did. And you know, we're talking about ourselves. That's what happens. A person gets up early in the morning to daven, to do something good, and maybe gets sick a day later, and God forbid he says, "Oh, I regret ever having gotten up to do that." Oh, remember this. Regret, when it comes to averus, is called charata. And it erases the avera. Well, God forbid, the same thing works with mitzvahs. Toal rishonos. A person can erase the mitzvah. And the Yetzer Hara gleefully is there. Couldn't stop him in the beginning, but he got him in the end. The person lends somebody money, and the person doesn't pay back. I wish I never lent him the money. You want the money, you know? Okay, but don't regret that you did the mitzvah. It's fine. I mean, so countless. The person's makarit somebody, and the person starts the makarit starts taking a lot of time from this person or whatever it may be, and a person says, I just don't have the time for this person. I just wish I didn't ever. That's the mistake. The fact I don't have the time, I have to work something out, fine. But never regret, because regretting by a mitzvah is the equivalent of regretting by an avera. And that is the asasiyah. So Avraham Avinu, he knew the game. What does that mean? That he understood when he came, lispo l'sar v'lifkosa, in no dead way did he regret. And he made it clear. He made it clear in the hesped, and he made it clear in the amount of crying. No one could say, "Oh, he must be crying for something more than he's actually saying, because you know he just probably regret." No, he missed his wife, etc., etc. Sorry, it's terrible that she died. As far as he's concerned, however, never regret. And that's the yesod. I'm just giving. I had, as a matter of fact, in Edison, New Jersey, there's a person. His name was David Rubin Zocher Latov. Then he turned around in his life. And he had a hardware store that was very, very successful. And he sold it to someone, and therefore he could be a full Shomer Shabbos. He's very happy. And he sold it. The person didn't have the money totally to buy it. So what he did, for Mr. Rubin was to say, make an agreement that he pay him X number of dollars, and that every month he would give him the addition to the money. So over a period of years, meanwhile, the Rubens would get a steady income, and they would be able to sell for what they wanted, and l'shalom al Yisrael. But what happened over here was this man, who himself was quite a good businessman, started to go bankrupt because something went wrong with the business. It just didn't work well the way it did before. Someone said to me, gee, it's interesting. Here's a guy who really knows business too, and he just can't make it with that business. There was another reason for it. It wasn't a lack of business acumen. The Yetzer Hara wanted the Rubens to regret that they had made that choice. And therefore, for 2 years, they suffered. They suffered. And he said, David said to me, Rabbi, I don't understand, Here, we were, we changed over, Meshrabis, everything, and, this is the situation there is. But he didn't buckle under. He didn't buckle, and in the end, Baruch Hashem, back, worked things out, thank God, and, the rest is a good history. But what happened? The Yetzer Hara was busy. And if you look around sometimes in your own lives and the lives of others, you will see that this is a tactic. He is a wily old fellow. But the fact is this. The bottom line of today's talk is La Pesach Chatzis Rovetz. There is a Yetzer Hara. He's also called the Satan. He's also called the Malach HaMavis. He has a lot of names. La Pesach Chatzis Rovetz. Ve'lecha Chukoso. He's by the door. Wherever that door is. And he wants you. I saw that sign that says sometimes Uncle Sam wants you. Well, Yetzer Hara wants you. There's no question about it. But you can overcome him. So let's just get that straight. And you can overcome him. Right in the very beginning. Now our battle with the Yetzer Hara goes back 5,767 years. It's the longest battle in history. There's the 100-year war that took place in Europe. Between European countries, etc. But we have a foe that we battle. Every time we overcome the Yetzer Hara, a person says, wow, I overcame a foe, an enemy. 5,767 years. Wow. Look at the soldiers outside. We have all over the place the soldiers. So what do you see with these soldiers on duty? It's a good example. First of all, Baruch Hashem, they have Siyata Dishmaya. As a matter of fact, Erev Shabbos, when I pass them, sometimes, thank you, Todah Rabah, L'chol Mashiach, L'osim Bishvileinu, Rotzim Bracha, there's not a person yet who hasn't stood there, as I've said to them, Yivarechacha Yisim Chalakim, Kefraim V'chim Nasha, Yivarechacha Hashem Yishmerecha, etc., etc. They stand there. Guys with yarmulkes, most of them without, but the fact is, they on the whatever. Nobody says, no, don't bother. I don't know what their backgrounds are. Don't have to make a difference. But they take a bracha of Yerecha Chasha. It's a wonderful thing. At the same time, what happens is we see Baruch Hashem, they should have the Siyata Dishmaya. They're alert. They understand that a potential enemy is anywhere. That's for sure. And that danger lurks in the shadows. And the fact is, that's it. And we can take the example from them that the Yetzer Hara is there, and it is as real, if not more so. We'll talk about it quickly for a few minutes too, if not more so than someone who, God forbid, could come and wreak havoc as such. The fact is this, that the more knowledge we have, forewarned is forearmed, but that really doesn't do it. The more knowledge doesn't necessarily mean that we're able to carry forth. A person has to have the will to win, the will to be able to eliminate the Yetzer Hara. It's true. And the will to say, I will take MIA. Do you know what MIA stands for? MIA is massive, immediate action. When I deal with the Yetzer Hara, I will take massive, immediate action. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Because that's the way to do it. Wait around doesn't work. So that's the way. give you an example of sorts how the Yetzer Hara creeps in. I want to use smoking as the example. I used to smoke till age 19. Every time I smoked, I was in the yeshiva. In those days, they didn't even have anything on the packages that said the Surgeon General. No Surgeon General, nothing. When it finally came, it said the Surgeon General says that maybe smoking is dangerous to your health. However, in my days, nothing like that. Every time I smoked, I grew 2 inches. By the end of the day, I was like quite high, you know, as far as that's concerned. Until my stomach started to bother me, and I was in the hospital for just a checkup. And then I was sitting on the bed, I remember, age 19, and the doctor came in. He says, Kalman, he says, you want to be well? Of course. He said, stop smoking. I stopped at that moment on a dime. Why? Because I wanted to be well. I wanted to live. And that was it, last time. Finished, the end, such. And the fact is that this is the way that we have to look in Yetzer Hashem at life in general. But it's not simple. I want to show you something as such. Nowadays, you know, it's not like in my time. No, this is it. For the way though, this you I don't have to read to anyone. But smoking seriously harms you and others around you. Smoking may reduce blood flow and causes impotence, which means it can't have children. Smoking kills. Smokers die younger. Some of the packs, which are even more creative, I saw Marlboro, for example, has not only that, they have illustrations of lung issues. You know, it doesn't just have to be the big C. It can be emphysema too. They're not pleasant things. I didn't come talk about smoking, but I am talking about the idea that knowledge itself doesn't do it. It does. We see it pushing. I know. I said, forewarned, forearmed, forewarned. No. There has to be a will. MIA. Massive, immediate action to do whatever. Could be from getting up in the morning out of bed. Time to wake up. Mode on it. Because the other way, either way. But we who've chosen the path of Torah also say, we want to live. We want to be well. And that's the way it is. Because you see from this that it's not simple on any basis when a person gets hooked on something. Push it! But we have, in next week or the next time I speak at least, I'll go more into that because it's not going to work in time-wise as such. But that is the void. When is this battle with the Yetzer Hara over? The battle. Push it. For Klal Yisrael, for all of us, Yemos HaMashiach. The Gemara spells it out. Nun Hei in Sukkah. Loss of love, what Kaddish Baruch is going to take the Sotan, the Malcham Mavis, the Yetzer Hara, and Shechtim. Tzadikim will be looking, the Rishoyim will be looking, Elu Bochim, the Elu Bochim, everybody's crying, and the Tzadikim are crying, how did we ever overcome that mountain? The Yetzer, the Rishoyim are looking, they saw it get Shechted, look like snipping a little piece of hair. Like, how do we not overcome it? As such, okay? Both are in the situation. Tzadikim, it looks like a mountain. We're showing, and it's a bemis. I mean, the Meforshim explained that to the tzaddik, it is a mountain because, remember, every day he had to suppress the Yetzer Hara, put it out of business every day, and every day it came back stronger, and it put it down. It has to come back stronger the next day because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. It's like, you know, lifting weights. I mean, if I can lift 100 pounds, I'm not going to lift 90, or I'm not going to lift 100 pounds the next day. I want to go 100, 110, keep moving. So the fact is, keep higher, 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 until it's shechted. The Rishoyim, they give in. And when they give in, fine. So therefore, doesn't cause the same situation for them, because they submitted, it was over. That's why they say that Esav, and the Esav and Sholem are the same gematria. Okay? Esav and Sholem. So how could Esav? What's Esav? Esav is 376. Sholem is also 376. What does Sholem have to do with Esav? Esav made peace with his Yetzer Hara. How? By giving into it. We make peace in a different way, by putting it down, and that's what happens until Yemos HaMashiach. So when we daven, Es Tzemach David Avdecha Meher Asatzmiach, Please send Mashiach. Every day in Shemona Esri, we are davening. For what? For Mashiach. Because we want to stop this battle. It's not a push of the battle. That's for sure. Unfortunately, on a daily basis, we don't always win the particular battle. For the individual person, now the battle continues until a person goes to Har Menuchas or to Har Zeisim or whatever. That's what happens. They say when a person was dying and somebody whispered in his ear before he went, he says, you know, what's the Yetzer Hara saying to you now? The person with himself was indeed a tzaddik. What's the Yetzer Hara saying to you now? He's saying, to me, say Kriya Shema very loud so people will think that you're a really big tzaddik. That means till the very end, there is no end. There's always the continued battle. It ain't over till it's over. Kachehi. The Yetzer Hara is like a fly. How's it like a fly? The Yetzer Hara has six legs, like a fly. Has more than six legs, but a fly has six legs. Think of it. A fly six. What six? East, west, north, south, above and below. Bombarding. It's always coming on all sides, six legs. Not only that, if you look at a fly under a microscope, you see that 10% of its body are eyes. The Yetzer Hara gets into our eyes. Why say Einechem? You could say many different things. Because it's the eyes that start off. That's why it's like the fly again. The fly can even stick to glass. Most insects cannot stick to glass. We certainly, people can't, animals can't. But the fly, all over. There's no way away from it. It's there. It keeps returning. It's relentless. And it comes back with more strength and more vigor. This is the way it works. Wow. It's okay. That's it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it. It's so. There's no shaila. How? Different story. Each person is going to have his own way. Baruch Hashem, we're in the right place to be able to work with the house. However, this is the Metzias. Yetzer Hara doesn't get tired, that's for sure. Nefesh HaChaim says that before Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, things work differently. First of all, let's get it very, very straight. Now, it's not so poshut. But the fact is, man, at the very beginning, was pure. Man, meaning Adam and Chava, pure. Yashur, Kadosh. One thing, they did have Bechira. They were so this and so that. We see they had Bechira, Haraya. They ate from the Eitz Hadas. At the same time, this is the key. The Eitz Hara was out on the outside. It was, as the Nefesh HaChaim says, like fire. I have the Bechira to stick my hand in the fire. But the fact I can put my hand in the fire. That's the way the Yetzer Hara was. And they decided, for whatever, however it works, to do just that. It's like saying, wet paint, person, whatever it is. It's on the outside. Once it came inside through the Nachash came from the outside. And the Yetzer Hara, with the eating of the Eitz Hadas, invaded the person. And we have what we have now. That's the Metzius. We have now. That means in every emotion, a mixture of Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. In every action, Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara. The four sons, Pesach time, they say it's all one person. According to some of the Mefarshim. But he just changes throughout the day. He can change from walking here to walking there. You can have a tzah, a chochem, a rasha, a tam, mishen day of the show, all in one person. But that is the human condition as we exist now in our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a mixture. In Mefarshim speak of the horse and rider. Horse and rider. The rider is the seichel. The rider is the neshama. The horse is the rest of us. And they have to keep it in check all the time through every thought and every action. Along with the inner, this is interesting, along with the inner Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, which is in us, are Malachim. Two Malachim. A Malach HaTov and Malach HaRa, the Yetzer Tov. We speak about them on Shabbos night, Kuf Yutes, in Shabbos. Person comes home and he has the Malach HaTov, the Malach HaRa. But this is what happens all the time. The Malach HaTov works on the Seichel. Stay on top of things. Remain pure. Be emotional Barucho. Don't go after your tithes. The Malach HaRa, it's all okay. It's all okay. Do whatever you want. and do it, and do it now. He also, M-I-A, it's only one way. Massive, immediate action. Get in there. Do what you want to do. Oh, so there is a battle all the time, and we're involved in it all the time. And we have to stay on top. We have to stay on top. Wherever there's more Kedusha, more Tumah, more battle. That's the way it is. The more, now, where are times of more Kedusha? Where are times? Times are more, are places and times. The month of Elul, the month of Tishrei. A place, Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, other Mekaymas. There's more Kedusha. That means the battle is harder. That means that there's a battle. It works this way. I'm not belaboring the point. There's another talk in itself talking about getting up in the morning and all that type of stuff. No, but think of it. I was preparing this. There's more Kedusha in waking up in the morning. Because now I'm starting a day. Now I'm starting mitzvahs. Up until that time, I'm lying in bed. So that means that there's a real press on us to stay in bed in the morning. Even if a guy went and said, okay, in the Hanami, go to sleep early and all that. But even if a person would stay, could go to sleep now, tomorrow morning, although it would not come out to be as intense, there would be a desire. I'll stay in bed and that's it, you know, it's a short night, whatever it may be. This is because there's more Kedusha in getting up. And then davening? You know, they tell a kibbutz that after a person davened, the Rav came over to this guy and he said, Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. You know, he saw when he was in Shimon Asri that his head, he went to China and he went to the Alps and he went all over during davening. And think of it, isn't it interesting that during davening, many ideas that we wouldn't be thinking about and places that we haven't visited yet or whatever it is, or other plans, all of a sudden slip into the head. What? How come? But that's the way it is. This is a makam of more Kedusha is the makam of where the Yetzer Hara comes and tries to knock us out. That is for sure. Now, in learning Torah, it's no shaila. They tell over that Rav Huttner, I saw a talk here recently, Rav Huttner, Zechat Tzadik Livrocha, was the Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin. He was a Talmud of the Alter from Slobodka. So he was in the Beis Medrash, and the Alter came and saw that he was learning alone. But he was talking. And he said, what's doing? Why are you learning without a chavrusa? And you're talking. And he said like this. He said, I am learning with a chavrusa. He said, my chavrusa is the Yetzer Hara. You always said, he told me, you know, the Rosh Hashiva always said, that we should learn with a chavrusa who comes early to the Beis HaMedrash. And the Yetzer Hara comes early to the Beis HaMedrash. And he's smarter than I am too. So the fact is, that's interesting. The Yetzer Hara comes early. You know, because even when I'm there already, listen, I don't have to tell everybody about it. We're all faced with the same thing. It's interesting, you know? Here I am, so much older than you, but I'm faced with the same situation, okay? Don't let it disturb you. It just means that we can just keep fighting at it and win. Baruch Hashem. There's no question about it, but that's it. That's just the way it works. Erev Shabbos. We talk about it many times. Last week, when the day got shorter, and Shabbos was at 4:11, I went around to Evrechim and reminded them this idea of Erev Shabbos, why the Yetzer Hara comes into our homes to cause machlokas. Why do you think he does? Because of time of Kedusha. And that's it. Mess up the Kedusha. That's what he wants. The more Kedusha, it's there. So it's true that the more forewarned, forearmed, as long as we have the will to do immediate, massive immediate action. The Chumash, the Gemara and Saita brings down from in Perik Chof in Shoftim. You're going to see horses and all the battle array. Everybody's ready to fight. So the Kohen goes before the people and he tells them, Atem kreivim hayom lemelchama aleivechem. You're going to go fight. Al yerech levavchem, do not become faint-hearted. Al tiru, don't be afraid. Al techbezu, do not panic, and don't get broken. Four different terms, says the Gemara in Saita. Do not be faint. from the neighing of horses and the glittering of swords. Do not be afraid of the clashing of shields and the horde of the enemy. Do not become panicky from the sound of the horns, and do not be broken from the sound of the shouts of the enemy. Four different things where the enemy gets together, different tactics. The horses are neighing. The shields are smashing against each other. The people are blowing horns and they're screaming. Different tactics. This is the way the Eitz Hara works. Different tactics. You think that you've knocked out one, the tactic comes back to give us self-doubt, to exaggerate the difficulty of doing mitzvahs, to discourage us and put us onto free fall. When the Eitz Hara showed, there's a story, he showed his most successful tool. What was his most successful tool, he said? It was worn, it sold for a lot of money, etc. Most successful tool was something that looked like a crowbar. He said, this is called depression. This is called disappointment and despair. And when I can't get a person to stop doing mitzvahs and stop doing things right because he just doesn't listen, I put him into depression. I put him into disappointment, discouragement, and everything. And that works. He doesn't sleep. He's always moving, always moving. That's the way it works. The fact is, Fatatim Shabbat. We can overcome him. We do overcome him. That's it. You take heart. You take heart. I want to tell you in the last minutes, just I found it to be a chizik. Two people, a marshal, two people are standing before the Bezdin Shomalim, a Russia and a Tzaddik. So the Tzaddik goes in first, and the Russia stands outside listening. And he says, you know, here's the Shachar Italian. And they say to the Tzaddik, Torah. You learn Torah, yes, such and such, and tefillah, and gemilas chesed, and eating, and drinking, and sleeping, and recreation, yes, 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 yes. And he gives a whole, account of what he's done in his life, and they review it carefully. And the Rosh is standing outside, listening carefully. Fine. So the tzaddik, congratulations, you make it to Olam Haba, to Gan Eden. Now to come to the Rosh. The Rosh says, let's cut to the chase. Let's cut to the chase. The Torah, Tefillah, Mitzvah. But I did a lot of eating, of drinking, sleeping, recreation. A lot. I should get partial credit, at least for that. Again. No partial credit. What? This is Oil Amanis. He got credit for eating, drinking, sleeping, and recreation and all. I want it too. He got it for eating, drinking, and sleeping, and recreation, and all, because that enabled him for more Torah, Tefillah, Chesed. You were involved in what you're doing, and that was it. Dead ended. We, in Yitz Hashem, we keep our eye on the prize. Ha'olam hazeh daima leprozdor b'fnei ha'olam haba. We'll be able to get there, and there's no shaila about that, too. Aguten.
It's not too far.
I didn't choose that.